Let's begin. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this place that you've given to us to meet. We're thankful for the people to meet here, the saints, Father, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the love that you've shed abroad in our hearts and that love extending out to each other and to you, Father, that we're seeking to have excel still more. But Father, we thank you for this time this morning in Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing to look at the names of God and specifically names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6. For a child will be born to us. That's the child born to Mary and to Joseph. A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. That's that the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And looking to the future and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. We put a comma in there, I did last time. Wonderful seems to be a noun, and so we took that simply as, as I've been thinking about this, meditating on it, where could you find a revelation of the word wonderful better than Jesus Christ? No matter what, he's the sum of wonderful, and I believe that that's what was meant there. Well, let's quickly go there. Judges 13. This is just review. And Judges 13, verse 15. And this is about Manoah, the father-to-be of Samson. And verse 17, Manoah is talking to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you. But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Okay, so his name's wonderful. But today we're looking at counselor. And that's pretty understandable as to what a counselor is, somebody that gives counsel, somebody that we would go to for wisdom. Webster says, to give counsel is to advise, to deliberate or resolve, to advise well, to determine, to guide, to purpose. And it's interesting as we look at this, we find in his earthly ministry, Jesus was giving counsel all the time. You know, it was wonderful counsel. The one I picked out, I thought it was so interesting. Luke chapter 12. And in Luke 12, we're going to come down to verse 13. And someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. You know, I think about if you were speaking to a group and somebody did said that, where would you go with that? You know, and the Lord was so immediate and so razor sharp clear when he said this. But he said to him, man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? Now, the thing that's interesting is we find in Scripture that he's proclaimed to be the judge. He's the judge of all. The Father's given all judgment into his hand. But if we just flip over to John chapter 3, very You know, the preceding verse is 16, so we're going to look at verse 17. I can never get there. Okay. And we know verse 16, the Lord speaking with Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever or whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Great gospel. I was speaking with one of the deputies the other day, and he was asking me how I was doing, and we got talking about my COVID and so forth, and I said, the Lord just delivered me. And he stuck his arm out. He says, look at this. And he had a tattoo. And had, a cross and a crown of thorns. And John 3:16. I said, whoa. I got so excited about that. Anyway, but here's the thing. He came the first time to do what? John 3:16, to save us, to go to the cross. He didn't come to reign as king at that point, okay? But then, verse 17, for God did not send the Son, first advent, into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. First coming, save. Second coming, judge, king, all it has to do with all of that. And then go back to Luke chapter 12, because what wonderful counsel. Verse 13, somebody in the crowd says, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Well, if he was the judge, what would he have to do? He'd have to say, bring the brother up, and we'll sit down, and you give your side, and we'll look and see. Okay. But he says, and it's so beautifully connected with that John chapter 3 and verse 17. Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? But then, notice what he says. Here's his counsel. And he said to them, to all of them, including this man, he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Is that not a struggle? For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. In the day that we live in, it's almost anti-American. Because it's so often, people get the idea that their life does consist of their possessions, I was reading in Ironside this week, and some of you might have seen in that little devotional where he talked about a Quaker who put a sign out on a piece of property he owned, and he wrote on the sign, whoever is truly content, I will give this piece of property to. Okay. So there's this wealthy farmer going by, and he thinks to himself, I'm content. He says, I've got everything I need. I've got lots of money. I've got lots of land. Why shouldn't I have this piece of land? So he goes to this Quaker, and the Quaker says, if thee be really content, why do you need this property? I thought that shows that we're always okay. So the Lord gives that tremendous lesson there, but I'd like you to go next to something I believe foreshadows when the Lord returns at his second advent return. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Second Chronicles 9, start in verse 22. So here's King Solomon. And remember, the Lord said to him in a dream, you know, ask, what would you like me to do for you, basically? And he asked for the wisdom to be the king of Israel. And so the Lord said, well, I'm going to give you everything. You ask that, I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you, you know, you're going to be famous, and I'm going to give you wisdom like no one else. Okay. So as a result of that, verse 22, so King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And now get what happened. This wisdom was so amazing and covered so many areas that this is what happened. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. That's beautiful. And I think people came with all kinds of questions. You know, I've often thought of this. Suppose that you could sit down with the Lord and ask him a question about any subject. And especially if you were a ruler of a nation, you know, what should we do? You know, at any rate, so verse 23, and all the kings of the earth were seeking his presence, the presence of Solomon, to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold, garments, weapons, spices, horses, mules, so much year by year. Okay, so Solomon, I believe, foreshadows what's going to happen when Jesus Christ, who is perfect wisdom, comes back, and there's going to be nations, okay? And so, and Scripture says that. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. And in Isaiah 2, and we'll start in verse 1. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord, and I believe this is going to be not only in spiritually speaking, but physically speaking, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, going to be raised up according to Scripture, and will be raised above the hills. Notice what it says. And all the nations will stream to it, and many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he, that's Jesus Christ, returned, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many people. And they will, at that point, they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Jesus Christ, we looked earlier, a while back, at Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that has the wisdom and the power to bring peace on earth. And are you paying attention to the news at all? You know, you think of the potential for war, for nuclear war, for what's going on in Israel and Iran and Ukraine and Russia and the movings of China and so forth. You know, it's a very unsettling time. And Jesus Christ said, you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. You know, see that you be not frightened. This is the pattern, you know, of what's going to take place. but how we long for that day when Jesus Christ, and we will come back with him as believers in Jesus Christ and fit whatever role he has for us to fit into and do. And I can't wait to watch, you know, and hear his wisdom and see how this earth is going to be run. And for people to say, well, that's not going to happen, you know, the amillennial, I think what a tragedy would be to never see it done right. You know what I mean? To never have the Lord sit on the throne here on earth and do it right and see what righteousness is in a nation and see, it's exciting to think of. And then it's almost an exact duplicate. If you go to Micah, and Micah chapter 4, it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, all this is word for word in the beginning, will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. And here's what I love here. What's it going to be like? And each one of them will sit, individual people, each one of them will sit under his vine. Sounds a little rural to me, I don't know. Because he got a vine, a vineyard kind of thing, and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Though all the peoples walk each in the name of his God, now this is what Micah's saying, as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. God's wonderful, wonderful promises there. Okay. But here's the thing. Let's begin with Colossians chapter 2. Remember, we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as our counselor. Okay. And so let's go to Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians 2, down to start in verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle, Paul speaking here to the churches at Colossae, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts, this is certainly God's will for us, and that their hearts may be encouraged. You think about, how often in a week do you need some encouragement? You know what I mean? There's a lot of hard stuff going on. I go over my prayer list, and there's so many hard, hard things that people are facing, you know? And every one of them just kind of tears on you. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth which comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Now get this verse. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ is God's treasure house, so to speak, of wisdom for us and knowledge. He wants us to have that wisdom. And so there must be provision for us to have, as believers, to have this wisdom now. Okay. And so that's what we're going to look at. Okay, next. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 30. But by his doing, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. The hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. We're in Christ, hidden, the only safe place to be. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, notice the first thing it says, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. All those things we find what? In Christ. Okay. You know, what a hard thing it is when you, as a believer, and you know something of God's word, his plan, his grace, his mercy, his the future, and you're talking with an unbeliever, and I just look at it, I don't want to be cruel, but my heart goes out to him, because it's like they're an ant under a rock, you know what I mean? And they don't know what's going on. They know their own area under the rock, and they do that well, you know, but they don't know what's above the rock, and what, you know, they don't know about planets and who's in control of the planets. And you think about what the Word of God opens up about what truth is or what reality is. Because I love that definition. Somebody said, well, what's truth? Truth is reality. As God has pronounced to us what that reality is. And until you take God's word, which is truth, you're going to be in the dark about what's really going on, where this is all going to end, how it's going to end, what, you know, it's just. So let's go next to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then down to verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, and mature as believers. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. There's a worldly wisdom, there's no doubt about that, but notice what it missed, that worldly wisdom. But we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. All these powerful people didn't have a clue what was really going on, you know, when the cross took place. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and have not entered entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Who knows that? For to us, God revealed those things through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Boy, is that true. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, which is a deception, but the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit. That we notice what God wants us to do. that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That's a worthwhile goal as you study the scriptures. What are these things that have been given to us? Goes on and it says, which things we speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Here we go. But a natural man is the person who has not trusted Christ and therefore is not born again. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Scripture tells us the gospel is foolishness to the unbeliever, unless God so works in them that they no longer see it as foolishness, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. He has to be born again and have the Holy Spirit to understand these things. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. Now here we go. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? These last words. But we have the mind of Christ. How so? Well, by way of the work of the Spirit, but we'll get there in a little bit. Go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Get this. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. Now, if you find it, if you find wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, if you find it, then there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. That's quite a statement. Cut off means die, you know, be destroyed. And if you have no wisdom, your hope, you're not going to get there, you know. Okay. Then Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 18. So here's to me a picture of gaining in wisdom for the believer in Jesus Christ. It says this, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. What do you expect at dawn? It's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter, you know, until you can see really clearly. Okay, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They are stumbling, but they don't even know what it was that messed them up so bad. You know, what a picture. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Here we go, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That's a powerful statement. Your heart, where you think, what you think in your heart. Okay, you know, years ago, and they probably still do, but they had about computers, they had that phrase, garbage in, garbage out. You know, and you think about how well that applies to life. If what you're believing isn't true, you know, it doesn't matter how smart you are, it's not going to work. You know, it's like you have an equation. It's a perfect equation. It'll work every time unless you put the wrong numbers in. You know, you put the wrong numbers in, it doesn't matter. it's going to be, what comes out is going to be, is going to be wrong. Okay, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it, get this, think about it. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it, from your heart and what you're thinking in your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. You think about how if you're thinking, I'm just saying it again, if your thinking's wrong, then it's going to lead you in a wrong direction, you know? And really, the only way to protect ourselves from that is to be constantly comparing what we think with what Scripture says, what the Word of God tells us, what the truth is. Okay. Go to John chapter 16. The Lord here is in the upper room, and he's speaking to the disciples about the advantage that he goes to heaven and the Holy Spirit is going to come and what the Holy Spirit's going to do. So verse 12, John 16, 12, the Lord says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You're not ready for them. What's going to make the difference? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, that begins, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now notice this. We're talking about Jesus Christ and all the wisdom that is hidden in him and understanding and so forth. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. That's the wisdom and the protection that we so badly need. And then go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 6. What a great, this is the Psalm of David. And David says this, behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. Another powerful statement. What you're thinking needs to be true. And in the hidden part, thou wilt make me know wisdom. Wow. Okay, and then finally, just this thought, go to Psalm 90. This is the Psalm of Moses. And Psalm 90, we're going to start in verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Kind of a wake-up call, huh? Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. Think of all the difficult things in this life. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. I say to my wife, I have this phrase, it's always Sunday. The week goes so fast, you know, that it just, bing, oh, it's Sunday. Okay. For who understands the power of thine anger and thy fury according to the fear that is due thee? So here it is. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. That's an incredible thing. What can you take with you? You can't get your bank account in there. You can't get your things in there. You can't even get your fame in there. You can't. But what can you bring? Wisdom. God's thinking in your heart. and controlling you. That's a, what a great objective is. I'm building for eternity. It was my dad. He broke his back. Finally came out to see us. He wasn't in that great of shape, but he came out. And I'd given him a book about Vietnam, and he read it. And he got really excited about it. He said, I didn't know it was like that. And I said, well, I got another one. He says, no. And he was, when I was talking to him, he was sitting in the chair and his Bible open. He says, I'm studying this. He said, and he was nice. He said, I thank you for giving me the book. And I like, it's a great picture of how the Marines operated. You know, it's the book Guns Up, and written by a Christian guy. But he said, no, I don't. I know what it was now, and I, but this is, you know, I could see him saying, I may not be that far. And he wasn't that far from, because while he was out there, his kidney started to fail, and then he went home and kind of went into a coma. But Lord took him home. Father, how we thank you for who you are and that you have purposed that we would share the wisdom that you have, that we would have the mind of Christ, and that we would be developing and building up our cache or our treasure of wisdom, that we might present that to you when we stand in your presence. So, Father, make these things real to us. We thank you for our great counselor. In Jesus' name, amen.